Hello and welcome to this episode of the ESG Fitness Podcast. This is part two of the fasting, I'm going to say series, but it's two. Can you say that two parts of the series? Anyway, I didn't get everything I wanted in the first episode, so I thought I would record this, and then I got slightly distracted by just, you know, life, and then I didn't get it done. So anyway, this is going to be all about fasting, but in specific situations, including shift work, PCOS, diabetes, and then some more practical applications. I also wrote down some of the things I want to talk about, and this might actually end up being three parts, but we'll definitely get through shift work and PCOS here. So, one group of people who often get overlooked is shift workers. Shift work often makes fat loss harder for various reasons. Number one would be, like, on just a really practical level, it's very hard to create and stick to a routine when your shifts are constantly changing. And I work with a lot of nurses and midwives and doctors who are also parents, and I just think, like, it actually amazes me how incredible they are at managing their time, especially amongst in regards to, like, an always changing shift pattern. Now, when you add in diet and exercise, it sometimes becomes a little bit too much. And I say that, but then sometimes I think these people actually deal better because they have to be so organized, right? It's not like they're just going to magically find time to get to the gym. It's like you actually have to think forward and, hey, when do I have childcare? When am I off shift? What does that look like? So they also tend to be very good at being organized. But it's not to say that it's not a much harder thing to also shoehorn in when things are constantly changing. A little bit easier when you're like, right, I work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Okay, how do I fit in the gym, my diet, my social life, my kids, et cetera, et cetera, around that? The second reason is that night shift workers generally have higher insulin levels and higher leptin levels, leading to impaired glucose control and impaired appetite regulation, making them predisposed to putting on weight, right? You see much higher risk of obesity with shift workers. Now, I do want to point out here that this is a predisposition and it is genuinely harder, but it's not impossible, right? Even if you have impaired glucose control and appetite dysregulation, you can still lose body fat in a deficit. It's not like, don't put that up as like a limiting belief or a barrier to yourself. The third thing is quite obvious: fatigue, sleep disruption. Shift workers generally have poorer sleep patterns and sleep quality is often impacted. Again, that will impact your food choices, how motivated you feel, how excited you are to actually get to the gym, your hunger regulation, and thus how much you eat, and then how easy it is for you to stick to a deficit. Number four would be decision fatigue. I think most shift workers, well, maybe not most, but like a lot of shift workers, right? Especially doctors, nurses, midwives, people who work in the fire service or the ambulance, they all have pretty stressful and demanding jobs, right? It's not just like, you know, if I make a typo on something, you know, like nobody, it's not the worst thing in the world, but if a doctor does, slightly different, right? Or if I make a decision about something, it's probably not going to have, I don't know, like life or death, consequences, that's the word. You would think I've done a very long shift, but in fact I haven't, I'm actually quite fresh. Anyway, after a long shift, you generally are probably quite just, you know, tired because you've worked long shift, but also potentially quite emotionally drained. And it's not uncommon to then look for comfort food. So comfort eating tends to be higher among these people as well. So you can see, and these are just kind of like top of my head things that I picked out. There are actually loads more reasons that shift workers might find it harder to lose fat and to keep it off. Now, when it comes to fasting, because I got quite a lot of questions around this, like, oh yeah, that fasting stuff you said, that sounds quite interesting. Or more to the point, actually, what I've been talking about is more time-restricted eating and eating at certain times of the day, and maybe when you eat the most calories in relation to when you're most active. Now, when you work shifts, that becomes slightly different, right? So you obviously can't fast during set hours in the same way, or not half as easily. And who's to say that would actually even be beneficial, because your circadian rhythm is going to be slightly shifted because you're sleeping at different times as well. It's just not practical, right? But what can you do to avoid some of the cardiometabolic risks of shift work? Because one way you could look at this is, well, I can't do that, so no point doing anything. But another way you could look at this is like, I can't do that perfectly, but actually it's even more important for me to be prioritizing my metabolic health because I'm predisposed, right? So shift workers are known to have higher rates of obesity, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, fertility complications. Now, to caveat this advice, there isn't a ton of research on what the optimal eating pattern would be around shift work. And I think this is partly because shift work varies so much, right? So are you talking about someone who always works night shift, which means that actually their circadian rhythm might adjust slightly to that? Or are you talking about someone who works night shift and then day shift, then the next week it changes, or who works all nights and then all days, or, you know, there's so many different considerations to make. So people tend to become at least partially adapted if they have a consistent shift, but that doesn't happen if things are constantly changing. So what can you do when it comes to nutrition, right? So basically the current research, my interpretation of it anyway, suggests that eating during the day, even if you're working a night shift, well, this isn't what it suggests, this is what it shows, results in better glucose control. However, this may not be practical, nor would you want to be really hangry or aggravated or just unable to make important decisions because you've not eaten well, right? That's definitely not something that we want. So another option, specifically for glucose control, would be something like a fast mimicking diet. So this wouldn't be a complete fast, you'd still eat something, but it just tends to be very low calories and very low carbohydrate. So usually when people do this, and this would normally be done during the day as a fast mimicking diet, they would eat about 600 to 800 calories, and it'd be very low carbohydrate and very low, well, like I said, relatively pretty low calories. On a practical level, you might want to test this with just eating slightly less on your night shift and then trying to avoid carbohydrates and eating a decent and like bigger breakfast potentially than you normally would before you then go to sleep. And I know that might sound like a strange thing to do, but this is again what the research suggests. Like you probably do want to eat a bigger breakfast when your normal morning is, even if you're then about to go to sleep, and then eat the rest of the day like normal when you wake up. Your circadian rhythm, the reason behind this is your circadian rhythm would still be primed to handle glucose better at that time. Now, these changes will likely make little to no difference in the short term, unless you end up eating less, creating a deficit and losing fat. But the idea would be that long term, you're reducing your risk of things like diabetes and cardiovascular disease and any other sort of metabolic complications. Now, I'm not going to go into this here, but on a practical level, I would usually create a bit of a plan with my clients. I call it the WIP, the WIP, or the weekly intention plan. And I'd make this with clients who work shifts where their plans change every week, right? We kind of need a new plan for their week every week based on constraints and changes. And I have to say, like a lot of the shift workers that I work with, especially when fat loss is their goal, do actually do quite well on, I don't think I've ever really termed it this, but somewhat of a fast mimicking diet where they don't eat a lot of carbohydrates in the night, mostly focused on protein and a little bit of fat, and keeps calories quite low and then still eat in the daytime hours. This seems to work especially well with shifts like nurses, doctors, where shifts change quite frequently because you're never going to fully adapt to those shifts, nor do you really want to, because you probably want to spend time with, you know, your family in the day and be able to eat during the day. So you normally want to sway towards maintaining your quote-unquote or a quote-unquote normal circadian rhythm based on eating when the sun is up kind of thing. I also briefly touched on fertility and the fact that shift workers on average tend to have poorer fertility, or there is an impact of shift work on fertility, is a much better way to say that. this is so, so fascinating. So there's a study that looked at this and whether fertility was impacted in women with PCOS by simply changing the time of day that they consumed the most calories. So they had 60 women with PCOS not ovulating, so not fertile, and they were split into two groups. One group had a big breakfast, light lunch, and small dinner. The other group had a small breakfast, light lunch, and large dinner. Now, after 90 days, 50% of the women in the breakfast group, the large breakfast group, should I say, started to ovulate again. And the most interesting part of this is that there was no weight loss, just different eating schedules, right? Like, this wasn't about a calorie deficit. They had the same total calories in both groups, so they all consumed 1,800 calories. The breakfast group had 980 calories for breakfast, 640 for lunch, and then 190 for dinner. The dinner group had 190 for breakfast, 640 for lunch, and 980 for dinner, right? So they've literally just swapped breakfast and dinner, same lunch. And the rationale behind this, and this is just me reading out now the results of the study, is the breakfast group had a significant decrease in area under the curve of glucose. So basically how well you're tolerating a glucose load, how quickly it then comes back down. So it is completely normal when you eat food for glucose levels to rise. Like, that's what is meant to happen. Don't be afraid of that. But a healthy response is that your body then adapts and takes in that glucose from the blood so that glucose levels are reduced again. And they showed that that was better in the breakfast group, which isn't overly surprising because we know from previous research that you better handle glucose loads in earlier in the day. And this does actually seem to peak around like noon. But anyway, besides the point, earlier in the day. And then they also saw a reduction in free testosterone. And then there are a list of a few other related sex hormone levels which were changed, which are thought to explain the increase in fertility. Whereas in the other group, there were no changes in these markers. And so they conclude the study by saying meal timing and distribution should be considered as a therapeutic option for women with PCOS. And it's not something that I hear spoken about a lot for women with PCOS. And it's just another consideration and pretty interesting results if you have PCOS and you're struggling to conceive. Whether this extrapolates out to other areas is unclear, or like essentially the underlying cause of your infertility is the main thing that would dictate whether this is actually going to be beneficial for you or not. But it is quite like an inexpensive and relatively simple swap to make. And also, breakfast is such a great meal to have a big meal. Like, breakfast options are just fantastic. So there's that as well. There's the win-win. And then actually, if you're thinking about having a bigger breakfast and then a smaller dinner, go back and listen to the other fasting episode I did that kind of explains all the other benefits that you might get from this. The most interesting one to me is this like improvement in mood and motivation and energy levels that you get. I'm like, oh, that would convince me to do it. I am actually going to do it. I think I'll talk about this in the next fasting episode, and I'm going to do a little bit of an experiment on myself and completely flip the way that I normally eat, which will probably be quite hard. I'm quite excited for the challenge though. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this episode up here. I will do a part three with some practical applications, a little bit about what I've learned from researching this and what I'm going to apply to myself and what I'm going to apply with clients, obviously clients that want to experiment with this. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at ESGFitness. I reply to every single one of my DMs. If you know anyone who works shifts or who has PCOS, please do send them this episode. Hopefully it's useful. And if you would like some coaching support, you're in luck because the next Commit to Six intake goes live today. And if you work shifts or you have PCOS and you're struggling to lose fat and keep it off, it is genuinely harder for you. You might need a bit more support. We would absolutely love to help you. We are damn good at this and we go out of our way to make sure you're supported in the right way for you, which is the fundamental difference, right? The chances are the reason that your diet and exercise hasn't worked for you before is you're trying to mold your life around someone else's plan. Instead of taking the fundamental principles and molding them around your life and making them work for you. which is exactly what we do here. So if you are interested, head over to esgfitness.co.uk or click the link in the show notes. I've also put a link to my direct WhatsApp, so you can WhatsApp me there if you have any questions about anything. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a fantastic day.